Who's on?
Trent.
Hey, Trent. Welcome.
Hey, how are you? Hello, hello.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm good. I have 4.5 hours of family wealth meeting this morning.
Wow.
With the attorneys and the CPA. It was long, but it was good. Generational continuation kind of stuff. I have everything, so I have the whole. But it was kind of a little bit of, I thought it would be 2 hours. That's a long one.
Yeah, that's a long one. It must be a big family.
150 million
yeah.
For mom and kids have another 15 each. So we had lunch. Was long. I think, who do we have? We got myself.
I'm here.
This is Sheila.
I think this is our group today because Kate's stuck in with someone right now.
I'm going to run to the ladies room. I'll be right back. That's probably Kay.
Oh.
I think it might be Vinny.
Anyway, while I was just talking to Steven, Sheila, did you watch the video?
Yes.
We were watching the same video twice for some reason. I don't know why. I'm confused at what week we're in. We're in week 7, right? Was our 7th call?
We're in week 7, correct.
I started watching the video. I was like, man, I know I've watched this already. It seemed like the same video I'd watched once before. Is that just me?
Well, last week we talked about the 24-month calendar, and you were really excited about it and had some great suggestions, and that's what you had watched that week, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We talked about the enthusiastic endorse model before, but sometimes it'll come up. We'll just talk about it. I don't know. I don't see in my notes we talked about it, but I don't want to see things, but it's a pretty important week.
Both Vinny and Stephen have said you let me off the hook too easy, so you got to hold me accountable, I guess. So,
why?
I don't know. I'm just hearing that you're letting me off the hook too easy. I don't know. Me, you, and I talk too much, maybe. I don't know. Stephen brings good questions to the table. Stephen, do you have any questions?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
Did we figure out the redundancy on the video?
I think the redundancy was that in week 5, I gave you information about the enthusiastically endorsed list.
Yeah.
That might have been. Sometimes what will happen is we will jump ahead because I've got an idea for you or something.
Yeah.
It's usually the coach getting excited and wanting to introduce something, and that was. That we can review it quickly and then go on to other things, but
well, here's where I'm struggling. Here's what I have going on. Sheila and I started making my own enthusiastically endorsed list, and that's obviously the CPAs and attorneys I want to use. But it's nice to kind of have your own list and then start looking at people. But I got a referral, like a $2 million house that's going to get sold, and he asked for 3 people, so I gave him 3 people that I had already vetted out, called him and said, look, this person's going to call me. He's going to talk to 3 of you. I want to hear what he has to say about you. So it was just nice to have a list of people at my fingertips and be able to give those numbers out. But I had a few struggles with trying to create the Mind Master group a little bit. I struggle with the most is, like, I have a few files. Sheila makes a file for me. I have the client file, which I'm going off of, I guess. The mini folder I'm handing out, I struggle handing that out sometimes, explaining obviously explaining the process is easy. Once I commit to it, I'm committed to it, and I have the people lined up. I'm actually having second calls again this week, which is phenomenal because it's somebody that, and actually, one of them had to move the appointment. He moved with you, right, Sheila? Did Ray Carlucci move the appointment with you?
Yes.
Great. I mean, that's just awesome. So, the folder to hand them, I'm struggling with what to say when I'm handing them the folder.
Can you explain
the folder I'm handing them?
What are you saying to them when you hand it to them?
Yeah, this is a part of the process. This is a mimic of what I have for you as your agenda and things to talk about in all the meetings. Aggregate your material, coincide with what we're working on, and this is going to be our working file together.
I'm going into a board meeting tomorrow for the finance committee for the Island School.
Yeah.
I've got a full, right?
Yeah.
And I've got an agenda, and I'm the chairman, so I'll be handing out the agenda ahead of time. They will put it into their folder. It's actually, they have three-ring binders. I have my medical folder. And if you have any questions on we'll talk about it, first thing. So the idea is no more than, just think of every meeting being a board meeting.
Okay.
And so just tell them that and say, look,
okay.
It's going to mimic a board meeting.
So let me ask you that, this then. What if I should mail it to someone then if they're not?
Right.
If they're not here, like this guy Friday, he's up in New Jersey. I should mail him the folder, and then next month, if I'm meeting with him on Thursday, here's here where we have to be a little bit more clear. Like a week ahead, we're going to start sending an agenda. I'm backing into our 24-month calendar. We have next month's theme ready, waiting for next month happens. So would I just hole punch the stuff for the next meeting and send it up to him? Saying, this would be tab one, tab two, or how would you do that if somebody... some people just buy the phone that are high, that are pretty important.
Yeah, you can give them a two-hole punch, which is a nice gift, wrap it up, hand it to them, give it to them, nail it.
Right.
An expensive way to say I thought of everything. But when you send the agenda, you just say, and I have a recommended organization just like you do, and that's where if you're with them personally, it's an easy way to show them, okay, here's where you take your notes. I've given you some blank pages to take notes on, and next to it is where I put the agenda, because that's what you're going to, you're going to have it open. You're going to be looking at the agenda. You take notes on the agenda, or you can take notes on the place beside it. The notes are also for during the month when you have something that you're thinking about. It's not urgent, it's not market related, but it's, what do you think of what's going on in Brazil? Do you think that's worth considering an opportunity, okay? So they write it in there, and then when they talk, you ask them, is there anything that you want to cover before we go into the agenda that you didn't put on the agenda? And he goes, yeah, I was just had these questions, two questions here. What do you think of Brazil as an opportunity and blah, blah, blah. And so it works. That works. And that's what I would explain it just like that to them. So then they kind of know their roles and responsibilities. Just think about it. If you're a new board member, you're not quite sure what this role and responsibility is. Well, how am I supposed to do this? And I tell, look, I'm your CFO, all right? I'm your chief financial officer. I'm in charge of asset liability management for your company. You're the CEO. You're in charge of running the company, all right? You're in charge of everything, managing the people and all the rest of it. And I'm here to help. But you're in charge. So I'm going to give you advice and guidance, but in the end, your decisions are what's most important. Okay? And people kind of like that. It's like, okay, so I'm going to be sending you this prepare sheet for the meeting, and I'll be reporting in, and that's what this is. The chief financial officer reporting every month what is going on in the company.
Right.
And when you got a $150 million company, you know it's a company, okay? Just a $150 million family is a company.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to organize it and feed it back to them, it's a godsend. I mean, that's just, I mean, you're the, I mean, it's like a family office group. You know, how often would you meet if you hired somebody and paid them $5 million and said, I want you to run my family office group? You'd meet with them every week, right? For a little while. You hope you would.
Right. Right. Then the 24-month schedule is helpful because we can start getting agendas. So would you recommend getting the agenda together right now for next month once I hang up with someone?
Oh, sure. Yeah. The sooner you can, the better. Everything, you know, when you do your homework right away, it's so much easier to do it right after the class.
Mm-hmm. I got folders sitting here. I got homework to do. So.
And that's why I tell people, when you get off this call, spend the next half an hour, 15 minutes, whatever it takes, to make sure everybody on the team has got their assignments and they know what they're supposed to be doing for next week.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste that opportunity. Because you've just...
Maybe we need to set up a time or after these calls, have a little conversation, Sheila, maybe on Tuesday morning. And, but Sheila's been super helpful in getting things together for me. Kate's getting things booked for you as well, Stephen, she tells me. She told me this morning anyway. Stephen?
Did he run for the mentor? The lady?
Might have. Well, I might have time with you then. I know she lives here with me.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just have more of developing a process and getting that process down. I said last time, a year in the month, too, but really realizing, okay, I got this done right here, but I didn't get this right done 100%. And we're constantly modifying our client profile sheet.
Yeah, and I think it's going to get better and better. And, you know, the other thing to tell them is, look, you know, this is your process, okay?
Right.
So you're the CEO, so if you want to modify this, or you want some, I mean, I think...
Here's my starting interesting argument with you. Right? That's what you're saying. Here's my starting on the board.
Right, and just say, you know, Rob, my consultant has coached thousands of teams, and this is the process that has been honed over the last 20 years to develop it. You may want to make it a little more modern than, you know, over the last 10 years or something. But the idea is, this works pretty well, so let's give it a try. But as we go along, if there's something that you want to modify, as I have, frankly, then, you know, let's talk about it. So I want him to, just like you, I want you to feel, because you've made some, I mean, you've seen opportunities and said, you know, Rob, what? How about doing this? And I said, great. Brilliant, you know, send it to the client. Send them the 24-month challenge. Brilliant.
Right.
You know, that's great. Keep them accountable, you accountable. Everybody knows what's happening.
It really makes you accountable, this process, for sure.
Oh, it does. Okay. And here's where I find, that it tends to break down.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody gets, I mean, some better than others. Like, you're very committed to this, and you're going to do it very well, okay? What I find is that when it comes to the acquisition part, is where people are not as, how shall I say, they're not as anal about it. They just become way too flexible. And then you don't get the results that you should get because you haven't really committed. And I would say the difference is this. I mean, I never thought about it. When you're dealing with the client, you're the CFO, right? And the client's the CEO. The CEO can fire you anytime. Right?
So right.
You're gonna do a heck of a job. But who's gonna fire you if you don't do acquisition?
No one.
No one. See, there's no, you're not the CFO for anybody there. You're the
CEO. There's no skin in the game. Right.
Right. You're the CEO and the team is working for you, but they're not telling you what to do. So here's the game. You got to make them the CFO and you be the CEO. Just like you have you've matched up yourself with a teammate that keeps you accountable on the service part of it to your client.
Right.
You got to do the same thing with the acquisition piece.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning your meetings with your centers of influence. Get them booked. Put them on the calendar. Hand the mini me folder out to them and start meeting. Adjust the monthly things according to everybody's reality, okay? But
right.
don't just throw it out the window and say, I can't meet monthly. I can meet 3 times a year. Well, that's just not going to be enough. Okay? So
you've got to
come up with a model that works for them and works for you. Maybe during the busy season they can't meet. Okay. You can have a 10-minute phone call.
Right. Right.
Out of business, they'd still like to get introductions. And the purpose of the meeting is always to give them an introduction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you keep telling them. I can't meet them. I say, well, what if I have an introduction for you? So, well, maybe I can sit to you then.
Right. And then what about the acquisitions? The mini-me folders for acquisitions. Do you have, like, a process typed out for them?
Yeah. You're going to give him a folder that looks just like your folder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he's got the exact same thing. The whole thing is the same. The information is about you. Like, you like having at your fingertips three names and phone numbers? He's going to have his three names and phone numbers, or maybe just one name and a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he's going to have his enthusiastically endorsed list. And maybe that's one of the things, one of the projects you work on together.
Right.
Okay? He's gonna love everything you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's gonna love the 24-month calendar. He's gonna wish he had that. Because he sends out a newsletter or an email or something to his clients. He's trying to do what you're doing.
Right.
Okay? And so he's gonna love this. Your ideas are really good. The enthusiastically endorsed list is a winner. And asking their clients, all the clients, oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And they say, no, I'm looking for a new one. I mean, he's doing them the biggest favor in the world. Introducing you, right?
Right.
And so his ability, I mean, this is what you're doing. It's like you're becoming a partner with them.
Right.
With more than just meetings. If you could meet with somebody every month and talk about the business that was a positive, enthusiastic person that's trying to grow, what would that do for you? It'd be great. That's just somebody that can refer to you. That's the idea. If they don't fit that mold, don't meet with them. They're not the person for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so be picky about this, you know.
Yeah, because there's a lot of good, so that happens, there's a lot of good professionals, but they're not necessarily one of two things. Either they're busy enough, and they're good, they're busy enough, and they're good, then they're not growing their business, or they just haven't thought about it. And I think it's probably plan B. They just haven't really thought about who they're referring.
Right. So none of this is, you know, none of them are following plan, process, and rituals. None of them are blue angels, okay? They're not so organized and structured that everything works like a Swiss watch. They'll have highs and lows brought on by their working. You know, they don't get paid unless they work. So Their highs and lows will be according to their schedule and whether they think about prospecting or have a meeting or don't have a meeting or whatever. So they're just not going to be as ritualized as they should be. And you can help them with that. You can help them, you know, smooth out the growth bumps, especially for the guys that are really aggressive. And then you can teach them that, remember we talked about the calling on the anniversaries of when you open the account.
Right.
And I think that's a great idea. I really do think it is, because nobody does it.
That's a great one. Should have marked that down. We've got to figure out how to, on a session day.
Session. Put on the enthusiastically endorsed sheet the date you were introduced and then the date you are, that you opened the account. Then every year on that date, which you then just, you know, you just put it into your Outlook, you call both the person that you opened the account with and the person that you gave
introduced you.
And you thank them both.
Right.
And it's, you know how when you've been calling your clients with 1242, they send you more money?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. And they're going to send you more introductions just by making those phone calls. You know, and you should have one of those phone calls almost like every other day. So you're making a phone call that could get you an introduction just without asking. I just want to call and thank you. You know, it's been 5 years since we started our relationship. I just want to thank you again for the trust that you've had in us. And I just...
Sheila, do you think there's a way that we can pull up the dates of when people open their accounts with us? So we...
You can do it in app, right?
Yeah. Well, you can probably do it on webmap, too.
You can? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a great idea. I mean, it's one more touch that's not part of everything. No one's doing that.
No one's doing that, and no one's calling the CPA, you know, or the attorney, or the neighbor.
Right.
Nobody's calling those people and saying, thank you, you know, it's been 5 years since you gave me Rob Knapp as a client. He's like, you know, confidentiality precludes me from saying too much, but he's a great client.
Right.
Just, you know... So just keep in mind that we have some, you know, we have the ability to take care of people like that, and we have some room. So if you have somebody that you think would be a good fit for us, you know, don't keep us a secret. And the guy will say, you know what? I've got somebody else for you.
It'd be nice if we can get that. That's something that we've not discussed. That's pretty unique.
Well,
not that hard. I mean, I was at a meeting this morning. I was telling what you're going to say against Stephen. Just a quick little thing. Sheila, you know, my silly birthday cards we send out. I mean, I was at a meeting this morning. Lady has no short, I think, what I say. It's like a $250 million relationship. I'm sitting there with the attorneys and the CPA and the daughters, and I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, happy birthday. And she goes, yeah, and you're the only one that sent me a card. I was like, oh, okay. You know, something that simple. You know, everybody should send a birthday card, by the way. But these other things, like, a quick little handwritten note. I mean, a quick little handwritten note after the call, I mean, it was really nice talking to you. I'm so glad you've been with me a year. I mean, little things like that. That's such a long way.
That would be, it's money.
Right.
I mean, it costs nothing.
Right.
And it's money. I mean, you know, I've referred business around for years, right? I've never gotten a thank you call. I've gotten a call right after thanking me. But I've never gotten a call, you know, any time after that. I did have a guy that used to call me, the only one ever that did this. But every year, on the anniversary of when I hired him, he called me and thanked me for hiring me. No matter where I was. And then he called me and told me he was retiring.
That's cool.
Very true. It was great.
All right.
Wonderful. You know?
Stephen actually was going to pipe in. So what would you have there, Stephen?
One of the things in terms of it doesn't necessarily generate business, but it generates tremendous longevity for relationships. On the anniversary of the death of a spouse, on the anniversary of the death of a child, on the birthday of a deceased spouse, I will call the surviving spouse and say, hey, you know, I want to let you know I'm thinking about Jim today. And I know it's a difficult day for you.
I'd probably do that too, but probably with only like 7 or 8 clients. I need to do it with the group, you know.
Well, Winger is a good example because they had 3 adult children die. So I would call Granny, and she's now deceased, but I would call Granny every year on the anniversary of the death of the adult child and on the birthday of the deceased child. And I mean, she was probably the best example of that because I had to call her so much.
Right.
But she, I mean, that woman would never have left. So in terms of, there's no way on God's earth that woman would ever leave us. And we didn't want her to leave, and we loved her that much, and it was evident in those intermittent phone calls.
Yeah, and you're, Stephen, you're doing that because of who you are, okay? I can't teach that.
Right.
Like, I can't teach that.
That's no. Awesome.
You're the only person that called her on those days too. I guarantee you.
Oh, I mean, I'm starting to tear up now. I mean, those were important phone calls. They meant a lot to me.
Right.
It's so emotional in this business, you know, like hearing someone today talking about their drug addict brother, or you know, like there's just so much emotion, or the father who's passed away, and. You know, there's so much value we get in these conversations with people that we really, that's what I'm saying, the keeping of the paper, I feel like I'm going back to the, no offense, Rob, I'm like, God, I'm keeping paper files, I'm going back to the 8-track days, but it allows me to write down things and go back and look at my notes and get things typed. It's a line, and it's to keep data, because all, our database system's not great. Ash is okay. I mean, Morgan Stanley is like just in 20 different locations. It allows me to have a file in my fingertips and say, you know, how is Tanya? How is Sam? Well, where Sam lives in North Carolina still. Tell me a little bit more about Sam. So I'm just gathering more and more information about these people as I move on.
Well, and that's one of the reasons, and I know that Trent probably tires of my saying it, but the best interviews that we do with clients are interviews where two of us are present, whether it's Kay and Trent, or Kay and me, or Trent and me, where one of us is talking to the client, gathering information, and doing it in a fluent and comfortable manner so that the person who's speaking to the client is not taking notes, but the person who is not speaking to the client is taking copious notes outside of the view of the client. And a lot of these deep and important comments, Geller is a good example of this. I wish Kay was on the phone. Geller is one where, in talking to him, I would be talking to him. She'd be writing down tons of stuff. So that's why I like the tandem approach to a client interview.
That's just an economic decision, you guys. Okay?
That's a good point, yeah.
I'm much more, that drives me crazy from a business efficiency standpoint. Just even like having 2 people in a room, I'm fine having myself in a room and can get a lot out of people and just... I feel like if you're talking to them once a month, you're going to be gathering that information anyway. It's more to talk about. But there are meetings when it is nice to have 2 people in the room.
All right, and that is exactly the point. On the intake interview or on the semi-annual portfolio review face-to-face, I think, but on the intake interview, I think you can absolutely get to a level of granularity that can be unrivaled by competitors with 2 people.
Well, it's what makes it work for you, Stephen. That's the more important thing. And the other thing is, if you're doing something like estate planning, all right, you're getting nuances that are really important. And how that, you know, did you see the body language when we talked about that? Or did you see, you know, because these are big, big deals, right? What do you want to do with your money? How do you want, you're not here today. You know, tomorrow, you're not here. What, how, you know, what's your vision of what's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen? There's some, is that what you want to have happen? That's the kind of thing where you see the client squirm a little bit, and then, you know, you can, you got a chance to really have that serious conversation that can change their life and their tax situation and your future. And so it's, those are important. A regular review, I don't, you know, I'm like, I'm like trying a little bit. I get feeling like I'm the super review. I just want because I'm type A, I'm productivity, I don't want to too much money from two people. I think I'm paying them too much, but I don't
You're paying in and out, Rob.
Oh, sorry. I feel like I'm paying them if I'm you know, you guys there?
I can hear you now. I hear you faded there for a little bit. I heard you say you feel like it's, yeah.
No, I just feel like I'm paying them too much, but if there's two people in the room, you know, why not save the money and charge me less? Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Can you hear me, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Good.
One thing that Stephen and I, like, you know, you get to a point, I guess, in business, and I get this way too, you know, like, I don't want to deal with it, you know, like, I don't want to deal with this person, but, it is work, and I think sometimes it takes a while to build a relationship. And if you're doing this consistent service, the other day, like, you know, neither of us we're talking to this guy, bringing him on possibly, and neither of us really love him. So I figured he will pay us, you know, $25,000 a year, Stephen, something like that?
15 or 20.
I'm like, well, you know, it's $1,000 phone call. It's once a month. Is that, you know, is that enough? And is it 5,000, you know, is that worth it? So we're starting to really, really quantify and be a little bit selective. And maybe he's not worth that. Maybe he needs to spend, maybe he needs to start, you know, maybe it's a $1,500 a month phone call or something like that. If you get enough of those, it makes sense. If you don't like someone, you can, there's no reason to go to the bottom in pricing, but I think it's not asset-based so much, Rob. It's really like how much is this person going to pay over the course of the year, right?
Well, I mean, remember, there were 11 different screens that George Kemp used when he first did his screens to determine who he wanted to do business with, and one of them was that he liked the people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, I think that that's a big deal because, you know, who wants to... I called it the cringe factor. Who wants to cringe every time that phone rings and it's somebody you don't want to talk to?
Right.
So you got to figure out why is it that I don't like them? And have they gone over the line? Are they, I mean, what is it? You know, they don't want to pay fees. They question me. They don't listen to me. So I like them. They like me. I trust them. They trust me. I listen to them and they listen to me. I mean, those are the things that I had to have in place where I didn't want to work with a person.
Mm-hmm.
As a professional, I wanted them to take me seriously and listen.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I step in for a second?
Yeah.
The light just went on. This is, Trent, this is something I really, you know, I need your help on. And I never thought of it this way until Rob said it. But if I like somebody, and if they listen to us, and if they like me, then the odds are that the people that they like them. You know, birds of a feather type of thing. So it kind of goes back to Rob's thing about those people that are going to refer to you. If one of the things they have in common with me is that they refer folks, I need to cultivate that. And that's where I've been deficient.
Yeah.
Well, there's a great book that you guys as professionals in the business should read, and it's called Give and Take by Adam Grant. Give and Take by Adam Grant. And The reason I recommend it is because it goes right to the heart of what you're talking about. Okay, it focuses on are these people givers, takers, or matchers? Okay? Just one second, I'm going to dial in. My phone is dying.
Giver, taker.
And match.
Kay has my copy of that in the office, by the way.
What's it called?
Give and Take.
He writes that on that. Sheila, I like a list of things you gave me, but I do all that in November, by the way. And I'm gonna forward this to Stephen also. I mean, that's a lot. I think it's a memory you gave me, right?
That was for, like, if somebody just started with us in November.
Gotcha.
And you can take things on and off of that, but we want to do
it. No, it's a good memory to have. So.
All right, just to go back to the giver-taker and master thing, if you had a book made up of 100% masters, you'd be negotiating everything. If you had a book made up of 100% takers, you'd be locked in your pocket all the time. They'd be trying to do a deal with you. You'd have no idea what they were really up to. But if you had a book made up of 100% givers, like clearly you guys are, Stephen's thing you talked about, that's a giver. That's a person that is looking for opportunities to help others, to truly give. So think about all your clients being givers, all your centers of influence being givers. You can do that. They're out there. And to me, it's worth it to try and build the practice of 100% givers. And the book is worth reading because, I mean, of the examples. I kind of went through it and went, oh, my God, it kind of vindicates my life in terms of, you know, people didn't always think that I was the most, that I looked out for myself enough. I was, you know, you get, when you're a giver, you get caught occasionally, right? People take advantage of you and da 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 da. But I always saw the best in people, and I was always giving, all right? You think, am I going to get as far as a person that is a taker or a person that's a master? Well, the book basically says givers that look out for themselves, meaning they make sure they get good grades in school and take care of themselves at work, they're the ones that are the most successful of any people in business. And that was the part that sort of made me go, you know what? The more I teach givers and the more I teach people that are good people how to be great, the better the world's going to be. You know? We can't do enough business-wise that we'd ever hurt anybody. Okay? Because we're always looking to give. And as long as you're surrounding yourself with givers, you're going to change the world and make it a better place. And sure, you're going to make money. You're sure. I mean, this one guy he's the biggest connector on LinkedIn in the world. And he's a billionaire, and everybody loves him. Mm-hmm. And they kill to do business. They kill to use him as a mentor. But it's worth reading, and I think it sort of vindicates good behavior. Anyway,
yeah,
it's a really fun topic.
Stephen's obviously read it. So, bank of trust,
just
sort of what we're all about, right? I mean, without our bank of trust, we're nowhere.
Oh, and, you know, those little things that you do, those phone calls that you make, you know, on the anniversary of whatever, but you thought of them and you called them and you're saying, I care, I'm a friend, not just a business associate, then that bank of trust goes up. And then when something happens, the market is terrible or you fail to do something you said you were going to do, they don't fire you. They understand you're a fallible human being and you're not perfect. And therefore, they forgive you. Okay? So you don't bankrupt the bank of trust on one item. So you're constantly, all your life, making deposits in the bank of trust, just like your reputation. And, you know, always keep in mind that you have spent an awful lot of energy and time to build up that. You don't want to bankrupt it by making stupid decisions.
Right.
Okay? So that's the bank of trust. It's just a concept that we spent a lot of time on when I was working with my office and trying to help them. You know, my friend Larry Wilson said, your job as an advisor is just to help people grow up and make better choices. And I think that's pretty profound. Helping them to grow up, meaning, you know, they have to eventually realize that they have to pay taxes and that they're mortal. Okay? And on the other hand, you know, making better choices is what half the people in the world, they just make poor choices. Either uninformed, spontaneous, emotional, not well thought out. And those choices are the sum total of life and their success or failure. So that's what we can do as we coach people, which is what you guys become when you do these 12-4-2s. You truly become their coaches. And you'll see that. You'll become more their life coaches. And so when they have a son that has drug issues, you have, through your enthusiastically endorsed list, at least can give them the opportunity to meet with highly qualified people in that realm. Because you know you're going to have multiple families go through it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so your enthusiastically endorsed list isn't just made up of CPAs and attorneys. It's also made up of counselors and doctors and cardiologists and other people that you just think are fabulous. And that, to me, is what it's all about.
I think that. I was thinking about that because I have clients everywhere, but I had a client he needs his knee done, and doesn't want to go local, which I understand. You know, it's basically orthopedic knee meals in the military, and I called my other client and said, hey, you know, who's your guy in New York at hospital for special surgery? He says, well, he doesn't take patients off the street, but I'll email him and get your friend in, and I was able to make that happen. But now I'm emailing with the doctor. So I think there is a way to kind of, even if they're not here, to build that book of the right people to help people out with. And we're in Florida. Everybody's going to have a new knee or needs a new shoulder. I think I love the enthusiastically endorsed list. I really do. I'm not getting it done fast enough. Do you have your enthusiastic list yet done, Stephen?
Yeah, and actually what I'm working on is, I really wish we could actually do this on an ad hoc basis. But remember that fellow I met who sold his company and he's married to the physician's wife and I told you he plays golf, blah, blah, blah. I called him and I said, listen, I need for you to do me a favor. I've lived here forever and I know that I've got my list of CPAs and my clients have a list. But can you put together your list of absolute, you know, preeminent, high-quality, enthusiastically endorsed CPAs and attorneys in town? And he said, yeah, it's going to take me a while because I don't trust people that well. He's not yet a client, but I think that he's digging himself a hole into becoming a client by doing that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've engaged with him with that.
Yeah, and he takes it very seriously.
I think you gotta give them a mini meeting folder and say, hey, here's what the meetings look like with my clients, just so you know. I'd like to be your CFO.
Right.
I'd like to be your board and you just have the next step. And you gotta walk out and just, you know, you gotta hold me accountable, I'll hold you accountable. We gotta get that. That's maybe we need a little side discussion on that.
Rob, are you still here? I think we lost him.
Rob, did you take off?
Yeah. I heard.
Yeah, I'm struggling with this one. I have a question. No secret, like, I golf with like people around the world, and the guy, the CEO of Liberty Mutual, he's getting paid $50 million a year for 10 years, so he's got the money. And the guy that kind of wheels up, and I'm with these guys. And I'm sitting there going, I think that for me, I'm gonna pick the right kind of loud enough guys to talk a lot, and create a mind map group with them, trying to. And, take them out for lunch first and ask them, say, hey, I really appreciate your business acumen. Tell them my background story and just try to get them involved and becoming like a board member for me so that they eventually turn around and give you business. Is that too usury? Is that too usury?
I don't think we have Rob anymore.
Well, what do you think, Stephen?
No, I think it's currency. I think it is fungible currency, and I think that it's something that we need to have serious talks about, and maybe serious talks about with the people that we want to develop, as going all the way back to that first meeting with Lasky, where we said this guy could really, 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 really do a lot to teach us how to do what he wants us to do, and every time somebody gives us advice, they're that much closer to giving us their money.
Yeah, I love it with him. I mean,
I do. He's got too many things going on, and he's afraid that giving up part of that relationship with the guy that has his $50 million will mean giving it all up. And I think that what we have to do is just continue. I think once we get there, we're set. But and on his kids, I think he's one of those people that when he draws up his will and trust documents, he feels like he'll immediately die. Because that's what happened with his best friend, Olson. Olson drafted his documents and died 12 months later.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to lost Rob.
I don't either. You want to pick this up?
Pick up later.
Okay.
Kay, we can talk about 4 o'clock call, and I'm going to talk to Sheila. But you see that monthly topic? Let's talk about that tomorrow. Can we talk tomorrow for, 15 minutes about this? And then I can't talk today.
Okay, no, that's good. Okay.
Okay.
Sheila, thanks. Okay,
thanks. Okay,
I got it.
Bye-bye.